Hi, welcome to The Scene. This is Scott Fingold from the Illinois Times here with Rachel Otwell, as always. And we're here to let you know what's up in Springfield during the coming week in terms of arts and entertainment, and just to let you know a little bit about the things that we're into ourselves. Give you a little bit of a window into the cultural scene and into our own heads. Mm-hmm. With us, we have Allison Locker.
Hi.
Hi, Allison. She's an artist and professor, and tell us a little bit about yourself here.
Well, I'm an installation artist. I have a background in sculpture, and right now in the community, along with several colleagues here from UIS, we run a project space, demo project, and I manage the UIS Visual Arts Gallery, also along with my colleague Jeff Robinson, and I'm also doing a curatorial residency in Chicago, so staying busy.
So, Allison, do you want to tell us a little bit more about demo and the inspiration behind getting that started?
As I worked alongside Jeff Robinson at the UIS Visual Arts Gallery, you know, we only have a limited number of slots every year to curate exhibitions and to bring to our community. The more we worked together, we generated an enthusiasm. We often cited the lack of an alternative project space here in the immediate community. Just kind of snowballed. The next thing we know, we're meeting with Betsy Dollar at the Springfield Art Association, who had a space for us to use rent-free. We got to kind of extend the mission of the UIS Visual Arts Gallery to this space. So really, those two venues are the only two in the community that have a dedicated mission to exhibit contemporary art only. It's really nice at demo because we don't have any of the, you know, parameters that come with an institutional venue. We have total freedom, and because demo is slated to be demolished in likely the spring of 2017, that's because the Springfield Art Association has a capital campaign underway and nearly halfway to their goal of $4 million, which is fantastic. And ultimately, the structure is going to have to come down to make way for these fantastic new facilities. So until then, we get to bring an artist in every month. And we've had artists from all over the country, Utah, Oregon, Iowa, Brooklyn, New York, you know, everywhere, which is remarkable considering the fact that we have absolutely no funding whatsoever. We don't have resources to offer the artists support.
And a room that they can basically do anything they want.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean,
I get the impression from having spoken to quite a few of them that just the opportunity to do to mount a solo show in an enclosed space where they have total control is a huge enticement.
Absolutely. And, you know, opportunity is opportunity for visual artists. If they have the means to get here, they get here, and we have seen really fantastic work. And we exhibit artists at all stages of their career. So, you know, in December, we exhibited Ann Carney Raines, who just received her BFA. And, you know, currently, M.A. Bobian is installing As We Speak, who is an assistant professor at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. But it's just been such an incredible adventure. And it seems like the reputation of demo has really significantly grown in a great way, and is shining a light on the region further. It's a constant turnover, and the gallery's open every Saturday, 1 to 4, so we have regular gallery hours, plus it's available by appointment.
People can so lots of opportunities, though. If you miss one opening, there will be one in a month. So
absolutely, and if you miss an opening, come out on a Saturday. We have somebody's always there, and we're eager to share the work with everybody. You know, it's something that I hope continues to grow because the caliber of work in there is just really fantastic.
So we'll be talking a little bit more about the upcoming demo show this weekend. First, Scott, I'm going to throw it to you. Talk to me about what you're looking forward to.
Oh, let's see. Well, it's a big weekend here in Springfield for punk rock because Dumbfest is happening this weekend, Friday and Saturday, over at the Black Sheep Cafe. A whole bunch of bands from all over the country are playing, almost like a musical equivalent of what you're talking about, a demo in a way, all happening at once, a bunch of bands. playing, some local, but a lot of them from all over the place. And, you know, just a really intense roster of good stuff, including some local favorites like Looming and Virkonen and Diaper Rash are all going to be playing. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of go to blacksheep.com to look for the full list. But there's a whole lot of rock and roll happening over there, raw and interesting stuff from all over the place.
Is this Dumbfest 2 or 3?
3. This is the third year of Dumbfest. I know. It just flies by.
Yeah.
And you got to give them a lot of credit. The over there, Brian Galecki just works his butt off getting all this stuff together and really doing a great service for people who are interested in that kind of music here in town. And just that whole Southtown thing just continuing to be a burgeoning part of the cultural community here. Let's see, what else is going on?
Let's talk about Spamalot. So
okay,
I can play
sure,
a song.
Do that, Spamalot. Okay, let's talk about Spamalot. What is there not to say about Spamalot?
You know, it's Monty Python. I think that's pretty simple.
Right.
We did have an interview on WUIS with the director, but that show will be opening up at the Muni. And he said it's kind of PG-13. So
yeah, well, it's Monty
Python. Night.
That's all you really need to know again
pretty
about
much.
That. It's not necessarily the most antiseptic style of humor.
Right. So that's this weekend. And actually, the Muni is doing something I think they just started last year where they're having 3 weekends.
Oh, yeah.
You can go to WUIS.org for an interview about that and links to more information. And then I'll just go ahead. The other thing I had that's coming up this weekend is over in Jacksonville, the Imagine Foundation, which is kind of their community arts group, is having a fundraiser. It started on Thursday night from 7 to 9, but then it also goes up until Saturday. There will be a silent auction, lots of different art for sale. Again, more info at WUIS.org. Scott, anything else you've got?
There's a lecture by an artist named Pete Pinnell at the Hoagland on Friday. And Sandra Finney is having an art opening at the Prairie House Custom Frames shop on Saturday. And there's also an event called Art Literation this coming Thursday at the Hoagland. So a lot of arts-oriented stuff happening. There's also a burlesque show happening at Homespun Republic, which is not the usual thing. A little bit on the unusual side. Don't usually get to see burlesque. Not in Springfield. So if you want to get on the burlesque tip, head out to Homespun Republic on Saturday. The Jewish Federation is having their film series start this week weekend as well. On Sunday, they're showing an award-winning film called Mr. Kaplan. You can just look up a Jewish Federation film series in Springfield. And that should be pretty interesting, so not the typical film fair. There are opportunities to see that kind of stuff in town if you just keep your periscope up.
Allison, do you want to tell us about the artist and exhibit that will be at the demo?
Absolutely. As I said before, her name is Emma Bobian, and she has a background in photography. But if you walk into the space, you're not going to immediately recognize the work as work that is born from photography. She takes photographs, often of patterns, in nature, and then she cuts those photos up into these really intricate little strips, and she weaves them into, three-dimensional sculptural objects. And they're very delicate and really awfully playful. There's mm-hmm. something about them that is irresistible, and I find the work to be very charming, honestly. And she's in there right now building her installation. She's brought in some pieces of furniture as kind of a foundation. And as she was installing, she mentioned that she was thinking of this movie. What's the movie, Richard Dreyfuss and the Big Mountain from the 80s?
Close Encounters.
There it is, yeah. She's kind of got this structure emerging. She's attaching some elements to the ceiling. And they're, so it's a floor-to-ceiling installation, and it's kind of just raining down in this lovely mountain of woven photographs, and she has a lovely assistant with her, Daya, who, you know, demo is not a temperature controlled space, as Scott knows.
That's true.
Yes. And
it's
in the winter.
Uncontrolled.
Yes. In the winter, we suffer. And we do as well in the summer. And so they have been in there, lights off, because light just heats the space, and just working away at, you know, creating this gorgeous installation. So it's not your straightforward photo exhibit that you would see. You know, it's it is born from photography, but it certainly becomes something else altogether.
Great. And so Friday night is the opening reception?
That's right. Friday from, I can never remember this, 6 to 8:30. And actually, it's there's an opening next door. So in conjunction with Jeff Beauchart and his Odd Objects at the Art Association. So
perfect.
Come out and see both shows.
Wonderful. All right. Does that bring us to Culture Corner?
I believe it does.
Culture Corner. I was telling you, my inspiration for the book I've been reading for the past couple weeks or so was a Google Doodle about Nellie Bly. And I forget why they posted about her, some sort of, you know, random anniversary or something.
Sure.
But I was, as a female journalist, I was, you know, I've always thought she was really cool, but I was like, I've never actually really read anything she's done. So anyway, the collected works is just, it's about the size of a normal novel, and it starts with her going undercover into an insane asylum for 10 days, which is what she's probably most known for.
Sure.
I had also just recently seen an American Horror Story. One of the seasons is kind of based off of her doing that.
Right. Yeah. Asylum. I think it was the second season.
Yeah. So I had just recently watched that too. So it kind of tied in. Now I'm at the part where she is trying to break the fictitious record of getting around the world in 80 days. Mm. Which, you know, for a female to do that back then was pretty cool. And then also she has these really cool writings where she got on this thing where she was like, should females be able to propose to men? And she's just like asking everybody and getting different perspectives on that. And then she gets a sit-down interview with Susan B. Anthony, which was kind of rare. And so she's just like chatting with her about this. And then one of the other things she did was go undercover working at a factory with a bunch of other women, and just trying to find out more about their lives, finding out that it was basically slave labor.
What's the era that she was writing in exactly?
Well, let me refer to Wikipedia, which I have pulled up right here, because she was born in 1864, died in 1922. Good stuff. That's all. If you want to check it out, it's your turn.
Okay. Today's kind of a sad day because one of my favorite musicians of the 20th century passed away, Ornette Coleman. He was the first jazz or quote-unquote jazz musician who I ever enjoyed listening to. His stuff is a little bit, I think, challenging for a lot of people. He basically made up his own style, his own, not just style, but his own rules for writing and performing music, which he called harmelodics. And his stuff is extremely it's very alive sounding. And back when he was first playing in the 1950s, he was very controversial because he didn't use a piano player to keep the chording, keep everybody on track. He had a different attitude towards the tonic, as the musicians like to say, and really opened things up for what later became known as free jazz. And actually, he called one of his albums in the 60s free jazz, where he had a double quartet. He had two quartets, bass, drums, trumpet, and saxophone playing simultaneously. This one composition written for two quartets. And his music, he as time went on, he did a similar thing to what Miles Davis did, where he brought in electric instruments and brought in African-type rhythms. But his stuff was always tended to be more compact, more whimsical, and definitely not cool. There was never anything really cool about Ornette Coleman. Mm. He did an interesting experiment in the 60s where he was teaching his son to play drums, but he believed that the idea of playing music was to put feeling out there, not necessarily technique. And so he brought his amazing bass player, Charlie Hayden, who passed away last year or the year before, and himself and his, like, I think 10-year-old son, DiNardo, and basically had some compositions, but they followed DiNardo's drumming rather than trying to lead him. And it's this very odd, very immediate sounding record. It almost sounds like, if you know about sort of outsider music, a little bit like the Shags or something like that, except there are these two master musicians following the lead of a child. And it's not done in a spirit of irony. You know, his whole thing was all about being very immediate. And one of my very favorite songs in the world is by him. It's called Lonely Woman, from one of his early records, The Sound of Jazz to Come. And just play a little bit of that in memoriam of the great Ornette Coleman.
So there is our tribute to Ornette.
Right.
Thank you for that. That was a good one. And now it is time for Song of the Week. This is a Chicago band that I'm going to play. This is a band I just kind of stumbled upon recently called The Baby Magic. It's a trio. You got your guitar, drums, and then the lead singer is Mary Beth Brennan. And she also plays synthesizer. So they call themselves New wave, no wave, electro, pop, yada yada, etc.
That's pretty much everything, isn't it?
Yeah, but she's got just like really magnetic sort of presence when they play live, and you can hear it in her voice. And I've just really fallen in love with her style. So the song I'm gonna play is called "Rent a Place in Hell," and that is also the title of their newest album. So here it is.